Well, today is the big meeting between Trump and Putin in Alaska. And I don't know if you really call it a peace negotiation. It's not quite that. It's something very different. A listening session? I don't know. We're going to find out. But this is the most important meeting that's happened, frankly, since the launch of the special military operation in February of 2022. Now, there are a couple of really important things to note about this meeting. Number one, whereas under the Biden administration, the posture of the United States was that we're not even going to talk to Russia because Russia doesn't have a right to exist, according to the State Department under Joe Biden. Trump sees that very differently. By even agreeing to talk to Putin, this is a diplomatic victory for Putin and Russia in a sense, because it acknowledges that from America's point of view, Russia is a nation, right? And Russia is a nation that has the right to exist, and that Russia deserves to have the attention for us to sit down and talk with Russia. So I wanted to share with you my analysis of what will happen based on the results of this meeting. Now, Trump is insisting that this meeting is going to result in Putin agreeing to a ceasefire. I think that is wishful thinking on Trump's part, but then again, I don't know what information he has, and maybe he's got some super secret technique that, or I don't know, maybe he's got some leverage over Putin that we don't know about, or he's going to make a behind the scenes offer that Putin would love to say yes to. I mean, who knows? But Trump says Putin's going to agree to a ceasefire. I don't think that's going to happen. And the reason I don't think that's going to happen, well, there are several reasons, but number one, the USA no longer has any leverage over Russia because Russia has already been hit with unlimited sanctions, basically. Everything's been sanctioned. The US has already tried secondary sanctions on India and China, and those failed utterly, total backfire. Basically, India and China told Trump to his face that he can go pound sand. So that didn't work. Furthermore, the United States can't militarily threaten Russia in any way whatsoever, because Russia could always retaliate in a much more effective way, because Russia has hypersonic missiles, and Russia has the Oreshnik missiles, and Russia has more nuclear weapons than the United States does, and Russia has better air defense systems and better mid-range ICBMs and better hyperglide vehicles, etc., etc. Better submarines, even. And yeah, the United States has better aircraft carriers, but who cares? Those are obsolete. Those will all be sunk in minutes if World War III breaks out. So that's not really much of a factor. The submarines are a far bigger factor, and Russia dominates in the submarine technology area. You know, these so-called Ohio-class submarines that Trump is bragging about, these were designed in the 1970s. You know, they're not cutting-edge technology, not even close. Okay, but there's another reason why Putin would not agree to a ceasefire, and that's because Russia is winning on the ground. Russia is breaking through Ukraine's defenses in a very aggressive and very effective way just in the last few days in certain areas, not in every area, but in certain areas. And Ukraine's defenses appear to be crumbling rapidly. Ukraine has lost this war, militarily speaking. There's no question about it. Russia has won the war. Now it's just a question of finishing out the battles. But Russia has already won the war. There's no changing the outcome of this war. So why would Russia agree to a ceasefire under these conditions? Especially when Zelensky has said that he will not agree to any of Russia's terms. And Zelensky is saying Ukraine won't give up any territory, including the territory that Russia has already taken. And Zelensky says Russia has to pay us $1 trillion, which isn't going to happen, etc. So I don't see any reason for Putin to say yes to a ceasefire, especially what Zelensky wants, which is an unlimited ceasefire with no end date. Basically, Zelensky wants Russia to surrender. And that's not going to happen. And if Trump wants Russia to surrender, Trump is going to find out the hard way that America doesn't rule the world, actually. And Putin's just going to tell him to go pound sand also. And so depending on what happens here, though, it will ripple across, of course, world financial markets. So here's one thing that you can probably count on. If somehow Trump convinces Putin to agree to a ceasefire, then gold and silver and oil most likely would all go down and the stock market would go up, because that announcement would be seen as incredibly good news for the U.S. economy and U.S. security and the world economy, for that matter. Even though it might only be a temporary ceasefire, it might be a conditional ceasefire that doesn't even kick in until certain conditions are met, and those conditions might actually never be met. So, but just the announcement of an intended ceasefire would be perceived as very positive, and the markets would respond to that. So, and don't take this as financial advice, of course. I'm not your financial advisor, but what I'm looking for is, if somehow Trump convinces Putin to agree to a ceasefire, if he announces that Friday, if the markets have already closed, then when the markets open up on Monday, you'll probably see gold and silver plummet, assuming that nothing crazy happens over the weekend. If that's the case, then that could be a really amazing discount on gold and silver. Could be a strong buying opportunity, depending on what else is happening. If, on the other hand, Trump walks away from this agreement with no ceasefire from Russia, then of course that's going to have exactly the opposite effect. Gold and silver will go up, almost certainly. Oil will go up, oil futures will go up, and the stock market will probably respond by going down. Why? Because it's perceived as bad news for the world economy, bad news for supply chains, bad news for tariffs, etc. So war is bad for the economy, which should be obvious, but everybody forgets that. They think war is good for the economy. It's not. War is bad for the economy. War is bad for the stock market. War is bad for supply chains. The only thing war is good for is gold and silver, but only because people buy gold and silver as an insurance policy against the economic destruction caused by the war in the first place. So we should not hope for war, obviously. Even if you want gold prices to go up, if you happen to own a lot of gold, you know, still pray for peace. Either way, we would all be much better off with peace, including Ukraine. So watch carefully what happens after this meeting. What does Trump say publicly and what does Putin say publicly? And then match it up. See, I mean, do they match? Are Trump and Putin saying the same thing? Because there's a strong possibility that they won't be saying the same thing. There's a possibility that Trump would tell us everything went great, we have an agreement, and Putin would say we don't have an agreement, nothing's been agreed to, and we're just going to continue the war. In fact, I'm half expecting that that's what we're going to hear sometime, you know, this evening or tomorrow or whenever the press conferences take place. And remember that Trump flip-flops every day. So we don't even know what he's going to think going into this, or if he even thinks that it's the right move to have a ceasefire. At the moment, I believe that Trump wants a ceasefire. And I think that's really about America positioning itself for a war against China. So the United States wants to wrap up the conflict with Russia so that it can reallocate its focus and its forces to try to fight China, which is a horrible idea, by the way. So, you know, we'll see how that goes, but it's not going to be pretty, I would imagine. I wanted to bring in this additional fact in all of this. So China and India will be rooting for peace because India also doesn't want to deal with the threat of secondary sanctions, which have not yet gone into effect, but they are supposed to go into effect later this month. Well, if there's some kind of a ceasefire arrangement with Russia or a peace deal beyond just a ceasefire, that might alleviate the pressure that Trump feels to put these secondary tariffs on India. So, you know, it might help India negotiate its way out of this secondary tariff threat. But the countries that want the war are the UK, France, and Germany. And I don't know about the other European nations. I don't think Poland and Romania and Austria, I don't think they're all looking for war, but some of them might be. Who knows? We know for sure the UK wants war. And we know for sure that France and Germany want war. And we know why, too, because they need the war to cover up for all their fraud and, you know, financial money laundering and political fraud and everything else. And they also need a reason to crack down on their own populations, because there's about to be a revolt in Britain against the government, because the British government treats its own citizens like, you know, slaves. And a similar thing is true in France and Germany as well. So if it actually goes to a war with Russia, I can see a lot of domestic uprisings and revolts in those three nations, and maybe even Spain for that matter, although it's yet to be seen. And Italy and Greece, I'm not sure what they would do either. But look, the Europeans, the people of Europe don't want war by and large. It's the insane, you know, demonic pedo leadership that wants the war. And they're going to do everything they can to try to get it. So Trump is up against all of these forces, some of them in the world like India and China that don't want war, others like the UK and Germany and France that do want war. Plus, the Pentagon wants war. Elements of the State Department want war. Elements of the U.S. deep state and the intelligence community absolutely want war. And they're going to try to sabotage any kind of peace negotiation or ceasefire negotiation. All right, now, let's suppose that Trump works a miracle, comes out of this with a ceasefire agreement that Putin agrees to honor, which, again, I consider to be highly unlikely. That ceasefire might be incredibly short term. It might be 7 days, just enough time for Ukraine to gather its dead or something, you know? Or it might be 30 days, or Zelensky wants it to be indefinite. That's not going to happen. But let's say Russia agrees to a 7-day ceasefire. Well, over those 7 days, both sides simply rearm on an accelerating schedule, and then the war proceeds in 7 days. You know, nothing changes just because of a 7-day ceasefire. And again, I don't see any reason why Russia would even agree to a 7-day ceasefire, because it doesn't help them in any way at all. There's no incentive to agree to any ceasefire. Russia's advantage is found in pushing the current battlefield advantage that it has achieved, not giving Ukraine a chance to recuperate or to rearm or to recruit more soldiers to send onto the front lines. So I don't see any situation where Russia agrees to any ceasefire at all. If anything, I see Putin as being in a position where he counter-threatens Trump and says to Trump that if you continue to provide weapons to Ukraine, we're going to consider United States military bases to be legitimate targets, or United States factories, and that we, Russia, are going to start striking U.S. targets with non-nuclear systems such as the Oreshnik missile systems, because we know your people are involved, we know that your weapons are involved, so you are a combatant in this war. I wouldn't be surprised if Putin has that warning to Trump. And you can see how this situation could very quickly spiral into a nuclear exchange. And there's a very real risk that that's exactly where this is going. Because, see, Trump has, in essence, painted himself into a corner. He's made a lot of promises to the American people that he can't possibly keep. He's made promises, for example, that Trump is going to agree to a ceasefire. I don't think he has any control over that. And I don't think he's going to achieve it. And he's made promises that we're going to send like 17 Patriot missile batteries to Ukraine, but he can't even keep those promises because those missile batteries don't exist. He's made promises to the Europeans, like the UK, that we're going to let them buy weapons from us, those weapons to be shipped to Ukraine. We're not going to pay for them. But most of those weapons also do not exist. And if he's talking about munitions, those munitions don't exist. So the very real question is, how is he going to keep all these promises when they are imaginary promises, right? So he's going to get blasted in the media and blasted by his own base when he doesn't achieve a ceasefire and he doesn't achieve a military victory. Because remember, we've been told by the Western press this entire time that Russia has lost, or that Russia is losing, or that Russia has run out of missiles, or that Russia has run out of soldiers, and that the West is winning, and all we have to do is send more tanks, and send more planes, and send more artillery, and we're going to win. That's all been a lie. Every bit of that has been a lie. So how is Trump going to extricate himself from that elaborate lie, which, granted, most of it's not his fault? Those were the lies under Joe Biden. But Trump has, in essence, sort of extended those lies. You know, he hasn't said that Ukraine has lost the war. He's kind of taken a middle ground on that for the moment, but that's not going to work. Before very much longer, almost certainly by the end of this year, Ukraine is done, militarily speaking. And when Ukraine is forced to surrender to Russia, how is the U.S. going to explain that away? Oh, the U.S. failed. All of NATO failed. All of NATO can't defeat Russia, even though that's the only purpose of NATO's even, its very existence is to defeat Russia. But NATO can't do it. NATO is incapable. NATO doesn't have an industrial base, a military base, the people, the training, the technology, nothing. How's that going to fly? It's going to make America look weak and Western Europe look weak, etc. So the world is going to see the weakness of the U.S. empire and the strength of the Russian empire, unless Trump has some kind of super magical ace card that he can pull out of this and make America look successful in all of this. So my guess is that Trump doesn't really care about the fact that Ukraine is losing the war. What Trump cares about is making sure that America doesn't look weak. And certainly he doesn't want his own administration to look weak. So is there a solution that makes America look strong? I can't think of one, but possibly there's something that they can finagle in some way that Putin will agree to for some reason that's unknown to us. Maybe it involves a transfer of a lot of Bitcoin or something. Who knows? But I'm not seeing any positive outcome for Trump or the United States on this. Not in the long run. Yeah, he can get one day's announcements that will turn out to be fake. But he's not going to get a long-term victory out of this. The only outcome is that America and the West look weak. And Russia and China and India and BRICS look strong. That's the outcome that's coming. So, you know, plan accordingly. That's almost certainly the way this is going to end up getting resolved. All right. So in the meantime, if you want to stock up on gold or silver or high quality firearms or things to prepare yourself for the coming chaos, then visit my affiliate website, rangerdeals.com, and there you can see a number of affiliate deals that we put together for you with discount codes to save you money on many of these very important things. So check that out. Again, rangerdeals.com, and thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
Coco Energize. A delicious blend of organic cocoa, maca, and mushrooms for clean, lasting energy. Certified organic, lab tested, and available now at healthrangerstore.com.